thank you for the prayer team. I mean, the music was awesome. Thank you for leading us in worship. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask that you anoint your word, Lord God. Father, we ask that you speak to us from heaven, that your word be anointed, because, Lord God, we know that your word does not return void, that it goes out and accomplishes it what you desire, Father, that your word is living and breathing, and it goes into our hearts and changes us. So we submit to you, Lord God, and we ask that you have your way with us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they all said, amen. Hallelujah. It's good to see you today. I've been given the honor to preach the gospel today, so I'm very grateful for that. And we're just going to believe God that he has a word in season for us. Our message today is about the kingdom of God. Jesus is Lord. He has ripped the veil in the temple so we can all come into his presence and have fellowship with him. We don't need to stand outside in the outer gates. It is the temple has been ripped so we can go into the inner sanctuary. The devil would have us believe that we can't. He would come and lie to us and make us feel less than worthy. But the fact is, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can come into the inner sanctuary and fellowship with the living God. If there's anything standing in the way of that, you simply confess it and go on in. God is ready to embrace you because he wants to have intimate fellowship with you. But our topic of discussion today is about the kingdom of God and some of the power and authority that he has granted to us, his church, his people. Because he wants his kingdom to advance on the face of the earth. You may remember that the prayer, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so we want to be about building God's kingdom. So the first scripture I'd like to share is out of Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to pay very close mind to this. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 10. And the Word of God says, his intent, I'm going to stop there for just a second. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says his intent, he's speaking about God the Father. So I'm going to put it that way. God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we approach God freely and with confidence. So you can always approach God freely and with confidence if you are his child. But the part that I want to focus on is it was God's intent that through the church, his manifold wisdom should be made known to the principalities and powers that have set themselves up in the heavenly realms. God's intent was that he would use the church, you and I, as Pastor Dave was talking about, we are the church. It's not this building. It's God's intent that he would use you and I to establish his kingdom on the face of the earth. That was his original intent. Let's not make things up and think God had a second plan. No, you can't fool God. His original intent was that he was going to use the church to establish his kingdom on the face of the earth. All right, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of the things I want to declare to you is that you are agents of change on the face of this earth. There is a power and authority that have been given to you by God himself to establish God's kingdom on the face of the earth. Doesn't mean that you take it up, but it means it is available to you. Because he wants to change the face of the earth, and he's going to do it through you and I. Jesus, when he was nailed to the cross, and when he cried out with a loud breath, he said, it is finished. Now all authority has been given to us. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So say to yourself, say it out loud, I am a new creation. Do you believe that? The old is gone, the new has come. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who is reconciling us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you catch that? He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I have trouble with these things, and so this brother is going to help me stay focused, so please forgive me on that. We'll go ahead and press through. He has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. Is that clear? It doesn't belong to Jesus anymore. Jesus has done it all. He's paid the price. It is finished on His part. He has now given it to you and I, the ministry of reconciliation. It belongs to us. And if we're to advance on the face of the earth, if we're going to advance God's kingdom, we need to understand that that is our ministry. And we have power and authority. God did not leave us helpless. He gave us His Holy Spirit, as we will find out as we go along. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He committed it to you. You go, well, wait a minute, I'm just a man. Yes, you are just a man. But in God's sovereign power and His sovereign wisdom, He decided before the beginning of time that through the church He was going to defeat all the powers of darkness. And He's given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. And He's committed that message to you. You carry that message in your heart. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a powerful person on the face of the earth. You need to understand that. You need to believe that. Because it's the truth of God. The enemy would like you to believe that you're just a scared little Christian and you don't have any power and you don't have any authority. But that's not the truth of God. The truth of God is you're a new creature in Christ and you have been given this ministry of reconciliation to pull down strongholds in the heavenly realms. You have power and authority from the Most High God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Say, I'm Christ's ambassador. As though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So everywhere you set foot on the face of the earth, you are taking the message of God's kingdom with you. The things that Sarah was sharing were very, very important. You have been bought at a price. You were blood bought. You belong to the Most High God. It's not okay for you to act any way you want to act now that you're a Christian. It is not okay. Why? Because you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You have this great power that's been invested to you. Don't take this salvation lightly. You carry the message of the cross in you. You have the ability to tell people the way of salvation. You have the ability by Christ the Lord to lay their heart open and grant them entrance into God's wonderful kingdom through Jesus Christ. That power has been given to you. Do not take that lightly. Don't think you can live your life any way you want to. God doesn't want you to do that. John chapter 20. Hallelujah. Are we still good on the mic, brother? Okay. John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, peace with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Did you catch that? Now, we know that Jesus came to the earth and He shed His blood for us and He was sacrificed to us so you and I could become the righteousness of God. And now He's talking to His disciples and say, hey guys, I'm fixing to depart. And when I depart, you are what's left. You are what's left. And now, just as God sent me from heaven to earth to preach this salvation message and to show people the way of salvation, now I impart that to you. I am now sending you. You are being sent by the Most High God. Right now, you are being sent. You you have the message of the cross within you. You know the love of God. You know the power of God. And he says, I'm sending you. He goes on to say, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And we know at that time they did not actually receive it, as far as we know, because in the book of Acts, you know, they gathered in the upper room and they prayed for a good while before the Holy Spirit was given. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit has been given. It's been given to all of us. We did not have the Holy Spirit prior to Jesus being on the face of the earth, or while Jesus was even on the face of the earth, because he had the Holy Spirit in its entirety. But when he left, he sent back his Holy Spirit to testify. Testify of his word. Testify his goodness. One of the things that we're learning in discipleship class is the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And he tells us things that are yet to come. And he's going to tell you things that are yet to come in your life and also other people's lives. So I exhort you and encourage you to have a listening ear. Because God is still speaking from heaven. And he speaks mightily from heaven. But we want to learn to listen to what he's saying, because we want to be obedient children. He is sending us out with power, with the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit, to complete his mission on the face of the earth. So you're not ill-equipped. When you go to work for a company, excuse me just a second. When you go to work for a company on the face of the earth, they train you in the ways they want you to do business. And then you become equipped. For myself, I'm a salesman. I sell insurance. I know how to do what I'm doing because I've been well trained. And then if I need more training, I can go back and say, hey, I need more training. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that continues to train you. He's the one that continues to sharpen you. As you spend time in his word, he trains you and he sharpens you. And then he takes what belongs to Jesus and he makes it known unto you in your hour, in your time of need. He tells you the things you need. We're going to go to John chapter 16. This is verifying what I just spoke. John chapter 16, verse 12. This is Jesus talking to his disciples before he left the face of the earth. He says, I have come. I have much more to say, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's what he does for you and I. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive and what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me and make it known to you. So what we're going to look at is some of the things, some of the tools that Jesus used on the face of the earth, and also what some of the previous men and women of God had access to as they walked the face of the earth. Because we can expect these things in our life. And so we want to lay them open and examine them. Why? So we will understand how they operate. Because sometimes they happen to us and we don't know what just happened, and so we may not act upon it. Does that make sense? If we know how they work, it's just like in a training class. If we're taught how things work, then we're going to be more successful in the operation. Okay? So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit for a minute. These are all the things that were evident in Jesus' life. This is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And I'm going to read for a little while. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. So I'm going to stop there for just a second. God does not want us to be ignorant. That's what he's saying here. It's very clear. I mean, I don't want to be ignorant. I want to know how his kingdom works. I want to be effective. I want to be an effective minister in his kingdom. And he says here, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one is the same God at work. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So one of the stories I tell is, I'm not a carpenter, but I can build a doghouse. That does not make me a carpenter. I'm not a prophet, but I can prophesy. Why can I say that? Because you'll have people tell you, oh, you can't prophesy because you're not a prophet. That's not the truth. That's not what that just said. It is the Spirit that moves in you. And He will use you at a given time, a given day, because there's a person there that needs to have something prophesied to them, and there's not a prophet there. So the Spirit will rise up in you and give you a prophetic message for that individual. That's the Spirit of the living God. Don't think it's just for the prophets to prophesy. It is not. That's exactly what that Scripture is telling us. It is the Holy Spirit that moves through you. I've had the Holy Spirit move through me in many, many ways over the years. And almost all of these various gifts, there might be one or two that I have not. So he lists the nine gifts here. There are different kinds. Verse 7. Now each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another a message of faith. To another gifts of healing. Distinguishing of spirits. Speaking in various kinds of tongues. And still the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as who determines? The Spirit. So the Spirit is going to awaken these gifts in your life as you are willing to allow Him to do it. So don't think, well, I don't have that gift. It's true that you have a specific calling under heaven. That's a fact. It's true that you have specific gifts that God has given you that you will excel at, and it's usually going to be one of those gifts. Those things are very true. But it is the Spirit that moves through you, so He can tap you at any time and use any of those gifts in your life to promote God's kingdom on the face of the earth. Do not be one of those people that says, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a teacher, so I can't do those things. I'll tell you right quick, I am not a teacher of God's Word, but I teach all the time. Mike is a teacher. That's his gifting. But I still teach, but I know that's not my gifting. My gifting is exhortation, discipleship, and evangelism. That's my gifts. I know that. It took me many, many, many years to figure those things out. So don't be discouraged if you don't know what your gifts are. Just keep walking toward the Lord. But know that He will use you in every one of these simply because you're submitted to Him. Because He's God, I am not. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Jesus lives in me. God lives in me. And He will work through you to accomplish His will in somebody's life. That's how the kingdom of God works. So I want you guys to be aware of those things. Thank the Lord. Timing is everything. Our ability to listen and follow instructions is everything. So, I want to talk about those things for just a second. Any of you guys that know me very well know how much I think that the entire body of Christ needs to be discipled. I'm a firm, firm believer in that. Because you've got to have the kingdom of God laid in your life correctly. And if you don't have it laid in your life correctly, you just get tossed to and fro. You may have been a Christian 30 years and the enemy just has direct access to your life to lie to you and you believe those dumb things. Why? Because you haven't been discipled. So it's very, very important to have the kingdom of God laid in your life. Why am I saying these things? Because the spiritual realm and the natural realm parallel each other. When you're born in God's kingdom, you have to be spoon-fed. That's exactly what the Scripture says. Paul taught, I apologize that I have to fool with this all the time, guys. That's just new to me, so I'll keep fooling with it, and y'all bear with me. Paul taught that, you know, some of you should be eating good and mature food, good meat, and you're not able to. I still have to give you milk. Actually, it was Peter, I think, that taught that. So the point that I want to make here is when you're a child, there's not a whole lot of expected to you, but you do belong to your father. And your daddy and your mama, they teach you how to grow up. They teach you how to be a decent person on the face of the earth. The kingdom of God is no different. And then you become a toddler, you get older, and you become a preteen, and then you become a teenager. And the teenage years, I liken in the kingdom of God, is starting realizing, hey, I've got all this power. And nobody can tell me what to do because God and I have this great relationship. And so, you know, I can go out and do all these mighty things for God. And it's true, God wants you to go through those years. But remember, in Philippians, when you get to Philippians chapter 2, it starts talking about Jesus understood all those things. And he laid it down and became obedient to death. And that's where maturity is in Christ. Yes, you have all this wonderful power in God's kingdom. But he wants you to grow up. He doesn't want you to stay in infant stages. He doesn't want you to be selfish. As Sarah was sharing, she was taught, you know, go to your prayer closet, cry out to God. But you show forth God's love. Because it's God's love that changes the world. But we have to grow and mature so we will become obedient. Because when you release your children to the world, when they're grown, one of the first things that happens to them is they go, I'm free. I don't have to answer to anybody now. The truth is, now they got to answer to the world. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, you can learn from me, and I will teach you, or you can learn from society, but you will learn. Society's going to throw you in jail. Society's going to put you in prison if you don't follow the rules and regulations. Well, in God's kingdom, if you want to walk in God's power and authority, it's going to take obedience. If you want to have that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if you want to have that listening ear where you have the ability to go forth and change the world, it's going to take obedience. It's going to take a maturity level. So, in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, Mordecai was speaking to Esther. And Esther, as you know, was selected to be the new queen of that country. And Mordecai, all the Jews, had just been given a death sentence. And so he was speaking to her, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will rise up from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Now guys, I don't know if you realize this, but the Bible says that we're kings and priests. You have been raised to a royal position in God's kingdom. Why? To be ministers of reconciliation on the face of the earth. Not to be selfish little jerks and be a child of God. He wants you to grow up and mature, and he wants you to show forth his glory on the face of the earth. Because how do you know what kind of gifts and talents that he's put in you, that you have the ability to reach down into people's hearts and draw them into God's kingdom? He has put those gifts and talents within you, and he wants those things stirred up, because you, being a king and a priest, have been called at such a time as this. And deliverance will come. But God's saying, I want you. I want you to rise up and believe me that these gifts and talents are for you in the kingdom of God. So after much prayer, Esther decided, God gave her a plan. So this plan didn't come by happenstance. She prayed to the Lord. God, you called me to do this. I'm listening to my elder Mordecai. And God gave her a plan. And she had those two dinners. And then, of course, you know the end result. Haman was eventually hung and found out. But had she not chosen to listen to the Lord, she would have not heard that message. She could have said, I'm queen, forget it, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to go in the presence of my husband, the king, because he has the ability to put me to death. Basically, that's how the story went. You always have to be willing to put your faith on the line. You always have to be willing to be rejected, my man. When you decide to believe God, you're crossing a line, much like when Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. You are deciding to believe the supernatural, that the things that God has put in your heart have the ability to change the world. And they do have the ability to change the world. We're going to look at Naaman. Remember, this was a word that was directly... Now, the point that I want you to look at here is that the Holy Spirit gives us direction. He did it all through the Bible. And so what I'm stirring up in you guys is I want you to listen, because the Holy Spirit is still giving us instruction from heaven. So Naaman was asked to dip in the Jordan 7 times to be healed of leprosy. That story is in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. He obeyed, but in his reluctant obedience, he was healed. So he chose to go ahead and obey. He didn't want to originally. He threw a fit. Then look at Joshua. Joshua walked with God, and the word came to him to march around Jericho once a day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day, sound the trumpets to give a loud blast, and the walls fail. Because of his obedience, the key part of these scriptures that I'm sharing is obedience. Because the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you. The question is, are you going to be obedient? Because of his obedience, they stormed Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. Philip the eunuch. This is in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Philip the eunuch was told by the Spirit of the Lord, go to the chariot and stay near. Because of his obedience, an Ethiopian eunuch was saved, and the gospel was propelled into Ethiopia. Do you see what obedience can do? I mean, Philip could have said, "Nah, I'm going to do something else, Lord." But he thought he knew what he heard, so he drew close, and he heard the eunuch reading out of Isaiah. And so he explained the message to him. And that man got saved, got baptized, and then the gospel went to Ethiopia. One person's obedience took the gospel to an entire nation. You don't know what your obedience can do. You have no idea. But it is the power of God. You can be a child. You can be immature. You can rant and rave and do your own thing in God's kingdom. Or you can grow up and say, you know what? I know what God wants of me. He's called me to be a minister of reconciliation. I'm going to take up this cross and I'm going to follow him. I'm going to listen for his words when he speaks to me. And then when you embrace those words and you speak them forth by faith, it's going to change the world. Peter, this is a good one. Peter, after having a vision, the Spirit spoke to Peter and said, do not hesitate to go with the 3 men that are looking for you. This is out of Acts chapter 10. Now, if you remember the story, Jesus was the Savior of the Jews, as far as they knew. And Peter was not about to mess with the Gentiles. I'm not going to do this. But the Spirit spoke to him. And so, consequently, he went to Cornelius' house, preached the gospel, and while he was preaching, they all got baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. And these were Gentiles. Can you imagine? The earth had to shake for Peter, because he could not comprehend that salvation had come to the Gentiles. Because of Peter's obedience, you and I sit here today saved. Peter could have rejected that and said, no, salvation is for the Jews only. He could have thrown a fit and said, no. Of course, we know, according to Esther, that God would have raised up somebody else. But nevertheless, because of one man's obedience, you and I sit here today and have a relationship with the living God. Because he heard the voice of the Lord. Though he didn't even know what he was going to say when he went to that house. But they had already been prepared by the Holy Ghost. And Cornelius said something like, "You're supposed to talk to us." And so he just started sharing the gospel. And that whole household got saved. So there's a power that's invested in you. And it comes straight from the throne of God. And it runs through the river of your heart. And if you will listen, don't think the little thing the Lord has told you to do is not important. It is very important. It can change a nation. It can change a world. Because the power that has invested us came from God himself through Jesus Christ, and then he handed it off to us. Through the church, that's you and I, he's going to destroy the kingdom of darkness. That's his purpose for us. But we, as believers, have to take up the banner. We can't stay childlike. We have to grow up and want to do what he desires for us to do. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you some examples of that kind of obedience now. Joan, would you like to come tell the story? This sister has a story to tell you of how the Holy Spirit moved through a child to save somebody's life. You don't have to go up the stairs.
Well, a couple of years ago, my brother had a lot of pain, so he went to the emergency room, and then the doctor decided that he had an infection in there from a mesh that he had had from former surgeries. And so it was like an emergency surgery. And so nobody, you know, realized that he was having this. So I he was supposed to have surgery that same day or that same night that he went. And so I contacted the rest of the family that this was happening. And then the doctor had called and he said, I talked to him, and he says, "We're not really sure that we can help him." He says, but he said he doesn't want any machines to keep him alive if it doesn't work, so we'll just let him pass peacefully. And so I contacted the rest of the family that this was it. And my oldest son says, "You can't peacefully pass into hell." And so that's right. So we quick prayed and said, "Lord, if you're not going to take him to heaven, don't let him die." And so he did end up seeing hell before he got out of the hospital. But that's another old story. But anyway, he's now a new creation, living for God.
Thank you. So what happened is God's kindness leads us to repentance. It's God's desire, and this needs to be our desire, that no man should perish. And a little child rose up in faith, said, "No, this can't be." And that child intervened and stopped that thing in its tracks. That was obedience. Are you hearing me? That was a gift of faith that was poured out on that little child to prevent this terrible tragedy. And because of that, we have our dear brother Kerry here that walks with God now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But the point that I'm after is all of these various gifts of the Spirit will flow through you. That was a gift of faith. Sometimes when you're with somebody, a gift of faith will rise up in you to pray against something. And it's real and it's powerful. Or a gift of prophecy, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These things will rise up in you. Don't set them aside and be quiet. Because the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Yes, we are humble, but when righteousness rises up in you with authority and you hear the word of the Lord come to you, that's not happenstance. That's the kingdom of God. And He's given us these tools to conquer sin. He's given us these tools because He wants everybody to be saved. He's given us these tools to destroy the kingdom of darkness. And they are in you. And the Spirit will rise up in you on a regular basis. And you'll see them manifest in your life. So when you think it's there, just move on it. Yes, it might be embarrassing, but you just do it. I have another story I want to tell, Patty. These are real day occurrences. That's why I want them shared.
Last March, I was here on a Wednesday night, and there was a lady here, and we were sharing prayer requests, and she mentioned that, I don't even know how all this had come about, because God was just, the Holy Spirit was just doing it all. But she said something about, well, we need to be like Joshua and march around the wall or the city and claim the territory. And I think we were praying about the youth in the schools. And before that, the Lord had spoken to me just within that last month that I was to go to my daughter's high school, which is Conley High School, and walk around her school and pray. And my daughter's a senior in high school this year, and she's kind of a prodigal on her way back to the Lord. But I've been praying a lot for her, and that God is going to draw her back to her call and to her identity as a you know, a warrior for the King. So I was just like, well, as soon as this gal said this, it just like spurred my spirit. So I went afterwards and I said, God told me I need to go do that to my daughter's high school. And she goes, what school is it? And I said, well, it's John Conley. And she said, that's where my kids go. So I said, well, okay, well, I know I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk and pray. And if you'd like to join me, that's great. So on Saturday morning, the Lord would just tell me I would just go walk and pray. And she came with me. But as I was walking and praying, Conley has a lot of issues. I don't know if you know it. It's kind of a rough school. It's a Pflugerville school district. But the Lord just had me really praying for a fellowship of Christian athletes to be raised up. But I was a real strong sense of warfare going on. Like real, real strong like warfare prayers to push back the darkness, to start a fire, to bring revival. They were revival kind of prayers. And I was sensing that, like, God, what are you doing? You know, what is going on? But I just kept, you know, saying, okay, but I'm just by myself. But we need, you know, if you're going to do this, we need an army. So I need for people to come with me because this is not enough. But I just kept doing it. And a few weeks ago, like about 3 weeks ago, I got an email from the school principal saying that a Fellowship of Christian Athletes group has started at Conley High School, and that they were going to be starting to have some events. And so the first event was they showed the movie Woodlawn in the school cafeteria for free to the whole community. And Jack went with me, and there was only three students that were originally part of this group that kind of had started this whole thing. But Jack went out and like invited the whole football team and everybody that was out practicing. They all came in and they had some peace and stuff, but they know now that there's a Fellowship of Christian Athletes group there, and they didn't all stay for the movie. They did a See You at the Flagpole event, and they met at the flagpole and they prayed outside the flagpole. And this last Friday, they had their very first Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting in the school library, in the very center of that campus. And there was 22 students that came. And so God is really doing something there. My daughter's not even involved in it yet. And the lady that's leading it is like, I've talked to her on the phone. I was just, you know, praying for her. And I said, I've been praying for this. God's doing something. And she has a whole other story about what God's been doing with her to get her to the place of starting this group. So so God, you know, God does things, and He does tell us to do things that don't seem to make sense, but He's faithful, and He wants us to
sister.
I think you're getting the message. And she heard, go walk around this school and pray. She wanted help. She probably did most of it all by herself. But you were powerful in God's kingdom. And because of her obedience, there's now 22 kids there that are not afraid to confess their faith in a dark world. And God's kingdom is advancing on the face of the earth. And if righteous men and women will believe Him and will listen when He tells you to do things, and if you'll obey, you'll pull away childish things and you'll learn to be obedient. Obedience is a wonderful word. It's just wonderful. It's clean. It's wonderful. Obedience in God's kingdom is very, very powerful. We know the story of 1 Samuel, King Saul. This story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied to King Saul, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to need is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, God has rejected you as king." So I want to put a little clarity on that, lest that be heavier than you need to hear. God has not rejected us. He has received us as His children. But for you to walk powerfully in the kingdom of God, you have to put away childish things. I believe that scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." So God is calling us forth because He's after an army. Because He put within us the power of God to go out and reach a lost and dying world. And He's going to use His gifts and talents that He gave us by His Holy Spirit to complete that mission. But if we're unobedient, then we're not going to obey when He speaks to us. He's looking for people to be obedient. And if they are obedient, the kingdom of darkness is going to come down a lot quicker. You will move powerfully on the face of the earth. We live in a different dispensation of time, and we know that God is not going to reject us. I've heard it said, I hear this every once in a while out of Christians' mouths, and it grades me the wrong way. They'll say things like, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and do this because I know God will forgive me." Fact is, that's probably true, but that's not what God is after. That's the heart of a child. You know, a child will know, you know, if I disobey my parents, they're going to love me, they're going to forgive me. And I get to do what I want, and they're going to forgive me, and they're going to reestablish this relationship with me. But God wants us to put away childish things. He wants us to move as kings and priests on the face of the earth. And to do that effectively, we have to put away childish things. We can't assume it's okay to live our lives any way we want to. We can't assume it's okay to walk in sin because God has forgiven us of sin. Has He forgiven us? Yes. But He's still, the law is still there. The Bible says, do not turn a deaf ear to the law. Anybody that preaches, turn a deaf ear to the law, let him be accursed. So we don't want to turn a deaf ear to the law. Jesus has fulfilled the law, so our spiritual man is clean, but our human bodies can still sin. So we want to turn away from those things and learn to be pleasing to our Father so we can hear His voice when He speaks. And when He tells us to do things, we'll rise up in faith and we'll approach Him. And we will speak the things of God, and we will do the things of God so that His kingdom can advance on the face of the earth. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. I had a song, but it was too late to get it under. It was an old hymn that I had. The thing I want to leave with you today, more than anything else is put away childish things. Determine in your heart today that you want to grow up in God's kingdom and you want to be an effective minister in His kingdom. And if you make that vow to God today, He will. He'll guard your heart. He'll draw close to you. He'll train you. He will teach you. He will give everything you need for life and godliness. And you, in fact, will change the face of the earth. Are you hearing me? Okay. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that came forth today, Lord God. And Father, we know we can't do anything except the things that you put in our heart. So, Father, we humbly submit ourselves to you. We ask for your leading. And, Father, we ask that you change us. Father, I'm very, very, very grateful for your word that says that you work in us the will and to do your good pleasure. That means to me, Father, that even when I stray, you're still a faithful Father. You still watch over me. And you work in me what I need to be worked in me, so I will be that effectual minister on the face of the earth. Father, I thank you for every man, woman, and child here this day, Lord God. I thank you for your wonderful kingdom. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that our hearts, that our minds would be like yours, that we would have one purpose under heaven, and that is to see your kingdom come on the face of the earth as it is in heaven. That we, your children, your obedient servants, would play our part, Lord God. That we would take up the banner and we would understand that it was your purpose that the church would defeat the kingdom of darkness through mankind by your spirit that you put in us. So we invite, Lord God, the leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We invite, Lord God, the gifts of the Spirit working in our lives. Father, we give ear to what you want to tell us because we want to be used of you. We want to be your vessels of honor, Lord God. We don't want to be infants tossed to and fro by all sorts of weird things on the face of the earth. We just want you to be glorified and we want your kingdom to advance. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. And they all said, Amen. It's all, guys. Thank you. If anybody wants individual prayer, I'll be here for a little while. Thank you for letting me share my heart.